Well, the basis of our thoughts this morning on God's Word are from the gospel lesson, a well-known gospel lesson, and certainly the theme, I'm sure some of you are thinking about it, is on prayer. Yeah, it's on prayer. And that's something we all know about. We all pray, I hope and pray. How many of you have ever said to someone, hey, my thoughts and my prayers are with you? I've wondered at times when people say that to me. I don't want you guys to have to stay right up here. C.S. Lutherans are so used to people sitting further back that when someone sits up front, but are they? I mean, our thoughts, it sounds good, doesn't it? And I fear, in fact, it even came up at a resolution in the convention to encourage people in the spiritual discipline of prayer, that we continually pray. And I thought, well, of course we do, but the thought was that we talk about it, we know about it, but how many pray, unless you're in dire need or there's something you really want God to help you with, how many of us remember the Lord and go to Him in prayer? Well, I hope many of you do, but the thought is that many just don't. They don't really know quite what prayer is. Remember that Chevy Chase movie, Christmas Vacation? Yeah. They're gathered together, beautiful setting, dinner for Christmas, the families all around the table. And who is it? Clark says to Aunt somebody. I don't know. I don't think it's Aunt Edna. I think she didn't make it after the first movie. But anyways, she got strapped to the hood of the car or something. But anyways, says to the aunt, as the senior member of the family, would you offer the table prayer, the Christmas prayer? And she's like thrown. She didn't hear very well anyways. When she finally understood, do you remember her prayer? I pledge allegiance to the flag. And I fear too often that's how many of us understand prayer. Well, you heard the gospel lesson. Anybody here dying to give me an outline? What message do you take from it? What would you share with the brothers and sisters at Trinity? I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but what really jumps out at you? Now, I worked on this sermon during the convention, a little bit during some sessions. I confess my sin, but in the evenings, and I'll share some thoughts with you, of course, but something really jumped out at me, and it was like, oh my goodness, it changed my perspective on this text. Well, okay, come on. Oh, come on, Brad, I know you're an insightful guy. Any thoughts? Oh, yes. Pray without ceasing. Yeah, I think, and when I saw this text, that's exactly kind of what I thought. This is about persistence in prayer. Like this fella going to this house and seeking out from his friend three loaves of bread. And he doesn't give up. It's at midnight, bam, 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 He wants it, so he keeps persisting in prayer. So pray without ceasing. Yes? All right. Be bold and ask. James says you have not because you ask not. And be bold like Abraham was. Did you get that sense of tension rising in the Old Testament lesson? How can you go to God, say 50, 40, 30? God, it reminded me, I used to get a reward if you got an A on your report card. Like $5 for an A. Well, what if I only get a B? That kind of thing. But going to God and saying, well, what if only 10? Don't get angry with me. I'm pushing, I know. But if only 10 righteous are found, be bold. Yeah, certainly persistence and boldness in prayer. John?
I think the thing between the both of those things with me is we need to, we have this idea of praying to a deity and not a friend.
Ah.
Prayer should be more like a conversation with your friend.
Okay.
Because God's our friend.
Yeah.
He wants us to be happy.
Yeah.
Your neighbor. He's your friend. He's your neighbor. You know, he's going to help you out. Yeah, you may have to really bug the heck out of him. But there's Abraham. He's not talking to God like, you know, or anything. It's like, he's having a conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you a question. When you said, bug the heck out of him. Lord, I need a job. Lord, help me to do well. Maybe an opportunity. Whatever your prayer request might be, you know. And you want something from God. Can you change God's mind? Who votes yes? If you persist and you keep knocking at the door and you keep saying, God, you know, can you change his mind? You think so?
No.
No, Luther's Catechism says God is changeless. Now, sometimes it may seem to be God's will that we trust more, that we persist in more prayer because he wants us to come to him more. But I truly believe Scripture says God's not able to be changed. Once in a while, I get a letter addressed to me as the pastor of the church asking us to pray for somebody in Oklahoma, Arizona, doesn't matter. And they're trying to get, you know, literally thousands or even millions of people to send up prayers on behalf of a certain situation. And I've wondered, okay, I could do that. And I'm not opposed to it. But it seems like the underlying logic is if I get a million people praying to God, that's going to make a difference. You know, Bruce Almighty, I do more than watch movies. But you know, when he gets to be God for a while, and he gets inundated with all the prayers, you know, is that how it is with God? Can we inundate him with prayers? Can we go to him and just earnestly and persistently and without ceasing pray and maybe change his mind? Maybe I'll win the lottery if I keep trying and praying hard. I don't think that's how prayer works. Actually, I think more times, you know who changes in prayer? Yeah, we do. We get transformed in that prayer to submit ourselves to God's will. These are good thoughts. Any other thoughts on prayer? Yeah, Grace. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you ever said, boy, Lord, I keep trying and trying and trying. Nothing's working. All right, last resort, we'll pray. Last resort, we'll pray about it. Yeah, and so like Grace says, prayer doesn't have to be the last resort. You know, the disciples obviously recognized the power in prayer, how important it was by Jesus' example. And so they said, by seeing the importance to Jesus on prayer, having a relationship with his Father in heaven, and I like what you said, John, he's a deity, but he's a friend. And it's a little different perspective. I'm always amazed that when we pray, even privately in our own thoughts, God hears you. He knows what you are praying. Isn't that amazing? Such a, you know, long distance kind of prayer, but God knows and hears and promises to answer our prayers, of course, according to his gracious will. But what about, how about the model? I kind of looked at this in three segments, the text. And the first thing Jesus does when he teaches prayer is he gives out a prayer called, we call it the Lord's Prayer. I think it's probably better called the Disciples' Prayer that the Lord gave us. But he gives us a template for prayer. How many petitions in that template of prayer, the Lord's Prayer, are for ourselves? A couple at least, all right? Give us this day our daily bread. Like Luther says, all that we need to support this body and life. You know, when I was in confirmation at St. Mark in North Tonawanda, I hated memorizing all that stuff. But I'm glad I did. It comes back. And you kind of remember what Luther says about many of these things. But, yeah, there's so much more to prayer. Praising God and submitting ourselves. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. And so forth. What a beautiful template the Lord's Prayer is. But Jesus did not say, and when you pray, only pray. Shut in that I had in another church, her name was Frances. She was really an amazing Christian. She was almost blind, couldn't really leave her home very much, but she had a very alive prayer life. But here's what she did, and she kept it names underneath a mat on her kitchen table for people she prayed for, and she wanted me to know I was one of them. And she prayed for the senior pastor, for myself, and for many, many other people. And she would name the person before God, she'd say the Lord's Prayer. Then she'd go on to the next one. Name the person, say the Lord's Prayer. She must have said the Lord's Prayer 30, 40 times a day. And it's a great prayer, all-inclusive, but it's kind of a template for prayer and not something we only and always must pray, but certainly it offers us a model for our own prayers. So he gives them a template for prayer, and then he tells this little parable about the fellow who goes and tries to borrow, not have his neighbor give it to him, 3 loaves of bread, because, you know, in Eastern hospitality, if he couldn't feed his guests, it was a huge, huge embarrassment and insult. So he goes to his friend and says, even at midnight, and the friend says, hey, we've got the door bolted and locked. Now, don't let it throw you. I'm in bed with my children. That's... You got to go back to the times, probably a one-room house. Everybody was bedded down and sleeping on the floor. So he was kind of saying, hey, look, if I get up, I'm going to disturb the whole house, wake all the kids up just to get you 3 loaves of bread. You should have planned ahead. And then, of course, he finally does give the visitor exactly what he wants. In fact, even more than he wants. Now, although he was a friend, he wouldn't give him what he asked for. But because of, in our version, what did it say in this one particularly? I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity. That's the surprise I had in this text. I always took it like the reason he gave in and gave his friend what he was looking for was because of persistence and knocking at the door. And certainly, persistence in prayer is borne out here and in other places in Scripture. But when you go back to the Greek, and if you look at, this happens to be NIV, but if you go to the ESV or another one called God's Word to the Nations, I discovered there's quite a variety. Where does the verb, you know, that because of his importunity is another word, who does that action reflect back to? To what pronoun? To the man in the house or to the one at the door knocking? And to my surprise, it really seems it's to the one in the house. Because I always thought, what, because you just keep persisting and nagging God, he'll finally say, look, I got to shut this guy up. I'm getting tired of all of his begging for what he wants and give in. That's not God. Now, that's me with my Charlie, my golden retriever. When he looks at me with those eyes and he wants some of the beef jerky I'm eating, I give it to him. I shouldn't do that, I know. But that's not how God works. And it's the word in Greek actually means more literally above reproach. Because of the man inside being shameless or blameless or above reproach, while his friend is outside and he's knocking away, that's why he gets up. And I thought, oh my goodness, even if some fella gives a friend bread, how much more will God, who loves us, give us what we ask for or what is good for us because of his being above reproach? To me, it made a lot more sense, but that was the surprise of this gospel lesson. And so certainly tenacity in prayer is borne out. But then the last section too, he follows up with this trustworthiness, you might say, of prayer. I actually had to Google for synonyms. I wanted three T words so you could take it home today for the template of prayer, the tenacity in prayer, and the trustworthiness of prayer. And he says something like, ask God, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Do you see that God will give you whatever you ask for? You know better. No. He may not. And you know what? Thanks be to God. I've asked God to do certain things for me or to bless me with this or that. And he knew better. And that was certainly a blessing that God did not give me what I asked for. Now, God's not a genie in the bottle that when you fold your hands and rub them together, poof, he comes out and grants us three wishes. That's not God. But the God we pray to is trustworthy. He will hear us. He will answer our prayer according to his gracious will. And he loves us and cares for us. And we can go to him with any request, any time. The believer's prayer, those who go to him in faith, he will hear, he will answer our prayers. He's trustworthy. And it seems like the way Jesus teaches it, it's kind of intensifying actions. Ask, it'll be given to you. Now go a little bit further. Seek, and you will find. Go to the Psalms and you'll happen to see there how King David over and over again seeks out the Lord. You know, seek out the Lord while he may be found. There seems to be this kind of action that says, you know, I need to find the Lord to seek him out. Have you ever made a phone call to somebody and they answer the phone, but you can hear a lot of noise and conversation in the background? And maybe while you're talking to them, all of a sudden you hear their voice talking to somebody else in the room. And you kind of feel like, come on, I'll call you back at another time when you can actually listen to me. And even they'll say, hey, I got to put you on hold for a second and take care of something. I'm thinking, oh boy, not even music during the hold time. So, you know, and it's that way with prayer. God says, seek him. Don't just, you know, you can pray when you drive. You can pray when you walk. But I believe he's saying also, be focused and take that time like Jesus did. He went up on a mountain to pray. He didn't go up on the mountain to work out and while he's working out pray. He went up and dedicated and focused some time in prayer and that relationship with his heavenly Father. And seek and you will find. Knock, even go further, and when the door opens, be willing to partner and be in relationship with the one that answers our prayers and the one who loves us and cares for us. And know it's trustworthy. God will bless us as we pray to him. That's what I took from this text, and that's what I'd like to share with you. The template of prayer, the tenacity in prayer, but also the trustworthiness in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your teachings to us on prayer. And we ask that you would work in our hearts that we might be those who pray. It's not a teaching so much on how to pray, but that we do pray and come to you. Yeah, when we're in times of trouble and need and acknowledge our need and ask for your help. That we come to you when everything else has failed, yeah, but we know you will never fail us. But that we come to you persistently, consistently, with all of our praise and prayer and thanksgiving, because you are our friend who hears us and loves us and answers our prayers. We ask, Lord, that we would be a church and a people that come to you in the privilege of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.